Welcome to worship this morning. We're so glad that you are here. If you're joining us online, we hope you will check the link in your Facebook feed or on YouTube for the bulletin. All the prayers and liturgy will be on the screen as well, so that we can all participate in this time of worship together. A few quick announcements. If there are any soon-to-be graduates or already graduates in your family this year, please let us know by Monday. Lisa will be putting together some information for our Graduate Recognition Sunday next week, and we would like to have it as soon as possible. Inside your bulletin, you will see that our FPC Walk series is actually going to be on wheels this next month. They are biking the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail next Saturday, and you can get more information about that if you would like to join them online. We also have a number of volunteer opportunities that we would love for you to listen for God's call and think about filling for us. We are looking for gardeners to be part of our Garden of Hope team that will continue to grow produce over the summer at the the Garden of Hope Community Garden that will help supply local pantries in need. Our tech team is always looking for people who might be willing to learn some new skills with the camera and the lights and the sound, and support our tech team as we help keep worship going both in person and online for folks. And we are also offering some trainings for worship liturgists. You've seen people besides Chip and I up here leading in prayers, reading scripture, and if you have ever thought, maybe I'd like to give that a try sometime, we would love to have you come join us Wednesday night this week or next Sunday after the second service. As we prepare for a second sabbatical summer where Chip will be taking another part of his sabbatical, we will have a number of weeks where we will need people's help. And so we would love to have you participate. So if you have any questions, let me know. And with that, I would invite us all to... Oh, go ahead.
Can I say something?
Yep. Yes.
So there, in your bulletin, you'll notice at noon or 11:30 to noon, it says drum circle. That is open to anybody who wants to come. We'll meet for half an hour after worship, and if you're interested in rhythm, Cuban, African, drumming, all of that, we have two more meetings at the end of the service. So we invite you. We're going to start in the music room and hopefully go someplace a little more sunny. Maybe use that new patio that's really beautiful to sit on. So.
So now let us take a moment to center ourselves, to quiet our hearts and minds, to take a deep breath, and become aware of the love that is within us and all around us. Along with the motorcycle. Please join me in the call to worship. Come, worship the Lord, who is both here among us and beyond our greatest imagining.
Ours is our.
The Christ who walked among us is also the Lord who rose before us. The blessing of Christ is upon us and over us to clothe us with power and send us out into the world with good news. Come, let us worship the Lord our God, who is above all and in all, and who goes ahead of us into God's glory. Let us stand and join in singing our opening hymn.
Thank you.
for our faith to get disconnected from life, and so that faith no longer leads us into how we engage this life in the way God intends us to. And so let us confess the ways that our faith does not lead us to love this world the way God intends. Let us pray together. Heavenly Savior, you rose from the grave to bring new life and hope to the world, and you call us to share this good news with enthusiasm and live it with boldness. We confess that we have ignored our calling to your heavenly vision for the world. We prefer to shut you away up in the sky so that we do not need to see you in our midst. We have turned our backs on your beloved children who hunger and thirst in a world of plenty, who cower under school desks in a world obsessed with personal power and freedom. We stand around looking up to heaven or to someone else to do your work and solve the world's problems, instead of putting our faith into action and using your power to serve our neighbors and this world you love. Forgive us, Lord. Rearrange our thinking and our priorities, and fill us with your spirit of power and love. Make us courageous servants of your healing and wholeness, your justice and peace, for we pray in your powerful name. Hear the good news. Forgiveness is yours to receive and to proclaim to all nations. Let us open our hearts and our lives to God's Spirit that we may rejoice in this good news.
In Jesus Christ we are forgiven and called to be
today, you'll find information about Memorial Day and a little bit of its history, including that it started after the Civil War, when the Grand Army of the Republic saved the Union and ended slavery. And so today, we continue a tradition of remembering those in our families who we are connected to, but we do it in such a way that we also remember that these who served in the armed forces of our country also have families, us, who continue to remember them and who have lived with the impact of war in their lives and in their families. So let us take a moment to see these names again and to remember not only these people on Memorial Day weekend, but also the impact of war in their lives as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
You may be seated. As we prepare to hear God's word read and proclaimed, let us join together in the prayer for understanding. Divine word, speak your love into our hearts. Divine light, shine your peace into our souls. Divine way, lead our lives in your hope. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the first chapter of the book of Acts. The book of Acts was also written by Luke, the same person who wrote the Gospel of Luke, and this is the second half of the story. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, as I'm sure you are all aware, it's Memorial Day weekend, the first of our big summer holiday weekends. As I was driving south on Friday afternoon, traffic was heavy heading north on the Taconic, and I'm sure it was on the Thruway as well. Grocery stores are running low on hamburger and hot dog buns, and many of us have plans to enjoy picnics and parades and patriotic concerts, as well as open swimming pools, plant gardens, and do home improvement projects. I, however, am especially grateful to a church member who texted me yesterday about a much less well-known holiday, which is also coming up soon. Apparently, June 9th is Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day. And even though it's one of my favorite kinds of pie, I had no idea that it had its own day. Today in church, we are also celebrating a lesser-known Christian holy day. It's not nearly so well known as the bigger Christian holidays of Christmas and Easter, or even Pentecost, which we will be celebrating next Sunday. By the way, what color should you wear to church next week?
Red.
Red, that's right. But today's holiday is important nonetheless. This past Thursday was Ascension Day in our Christian tradition. Ascension Day always falls on the Thursday that is exactly 40 days after Easter and 10 days before Pentecost. Perhaps Ascension Day is less popular and less often celebrated because we are just as puzzled by it as the first disciples were who were there on the first one. We read about it in our scripture lesson this morning. In our passage, the disciples have been with the resurrected Jesus for 40 days. 40 days. Where have we heard that before? Well, take the story of Noah and the flood. It rained for 40 days before new life came forth on earth. Then Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai with God before bringing the Torah to the Israelites, a whole new framework for how they were to live together in community. Then Israel spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, learning how to be God's people before they entered the promised land. Then in the New Testament, right after his baptism, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness preparing for his ministry on earth. Now the disciples have spent 40 days with the resurrected Jesus, while Jesus taught them even more about the kingdom of God and prepared them for whatever was coming next. Can you imagine? The disciples must have been in heaven. Now that Jesus had been raised from the dead, now that he was with them again, maybe they could dare to hope again. Surely he really was the Messiah. Maybe now all that they had been hoping for, that Israel would be freed from their Roman oppressors, that God's reign of peace and justice would finally begin, and Israel would be at the center of it all, maybe these grand dreams and visions would finally come true. Maybe God was going to intervene once and for all and make everything right again. Impatient and full of hope, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus' answer was not at all what they were hoping for. "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power," Jesus said, "when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Then up, up, and away, poof, he was gone. The disciples were left standing there, wondering what in the world had just happened. Moments before, they thought they were about to get the inside scoop on when God was going to establish his kingdom once and for all. And of course, they had assumed that Jesus was going to be the one to do it all. Now where did he go? Was Jesus coming back? They certainly hoped so. Thank goodness there were two men in white robes nearby. The disciples might have stood there forever, craning their necks, straining their eyes, waiting for Jesus to come back and finish what he started. But the men in white robes, and that's code language for messengers from God, they asked the disciples, "What are you doing, men of Galilee, standing around, looking up at heaven, pinning all your hopes up high on someone else? Didn't you hear what Jesus said to you? God's timing is none of your business. What is your business is getting on with what Jesus told you to do. Wait for the promised baptism of the Holy Spirit and then get to work, being witnesses of the good news of God's grace and love, hope and abundant life here on earth." "Don't worry," the two strangers said. "Jesus will come back just like he told you. In the meantime, get your heads out of the clouds and look around. The hope of heaven is right here on earth." Then they disappeared too. The story of Jesus' ascension is not simply an afterword to Easter or a prelude to Pentecost. It is a reminder to the disciples, as it is to us also, that our hope is not simply located up in heaven with Jesus, or in waiting for Jesus to come back someday, or waiting for Jesus, for us to escape this earthly life and finally find a promised land somewhere else. No, our heavenly hope is in the vision of God's kingdom that Jesus showed us, taught us, lived for us, and empowered us to share right here on earth. Back in John's gospel, Jesus promised his disciples, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to my Father." With the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit, the disciples were going to be able to do what Jesus had done. They were going to feed the hungry, heal the sick, release the captives, open blind eyes. They were going to stand up for the weak and stand up to oppressive powers that demean people and make them disposable. They were going to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven and then see it happen through them. Jesus' ministry wasn't supposed to be just a memorial to the past. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, it was supposed to continue through them in the present and into the future. The same is true for us today. All those things that Jesus said and did during his lifetime, that journey he took through pain and suffering, crucifixion and death, empty tomb and new life, he has made us witnesses of those things also. Now Jesus promises us that we too will receive the same power through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, this is what makes us different from the disciples in our story today. We already have. We live not only in a post-resurrection, but a post-Pentecost church. The Holy Spirit has already been poured out on us and sends us out to be witnesses to God's amazing grace and life-giving power. Power that brings healing out of brokenness, abundance out of scarcity, justice out of injustice, peace out of violence and war. We bring the hope of heaven here on earth. Now, I will be the first to admit that it is hard to trust in a message like this right now, especially after the events of the past week or month or year. I can't help but think about the families of the 19 children and two teachers in Uvalde, Texas, or the 10 people killed 2 weeks ago at the grocery store in Buffalo, or the 5 people shot at the Presbyterian Church in Laguna Woods, California last week. Those families and friends whose hopes and dreams for their loved ones are now not a heavenly hope, but more a horror show, a living hell. And they are not the only ones, they're just the ones that made the news. According to the Gun Violence Archive, there have been 19 more mass shootings, which include any shooting in which 4 or more people are injured or killed, in the 2 weeks since the Buffalo shooting, resulting in 38 deaths and 97 people injured, not to mention the countless numbers of children and families, people and communities traumatized by the epidemic of gun violence in our country. Did you know that in the past 50 years, more people in the United States have died from gun violence, including from suicides, which we talked about just last week, more people in the U.S. have died from gun violence in the last 50 years than in all of the wars our nation has fought going all the way back to the Revolutionary War. Somehow, I don't think the men and women we honor on this Memorial Day Sunday were fighting and sacrificing their lives for a nation in which such atrocities occur as a regular occurrence. I don't think they were fighting for the right of 4% of the world's population to own 42% of the world's firearms. No, I believe they were fighting for a vision of freedom for all people, not freedom to do whatever I want, regardless of the cost to those around me, but freedom for a life of abundance and equal opportunities, freedom to learn and to love, and to build lives of meaning and purpose dedicated to the well-being of all life on earth, not just a privileged few. Perhaps what is most discouraging to me as I've listened to the reporters and the public health experts and the scientists and the politicians over the past week is the sense of resignation I hear in people's voices. The depressing predictions given that given the current political polarization and the power of the gun lobby in our country right now, very few expect anything to change. To be honest, this week I just wanted to bury my head in the sand and cry. I think I'd rather be like the disciples in our story, confused, frightened, looking up to heaven, hoping and praying that Jesus will beam us up to a better place, or finally come down here and fix it once and for all. But the story of our faith does not allow us to give up hope, especially not the hope of heaven here on earth. I am reminded of the story of the people of Vilnius, Lithuania, told by Reverend Craig Coker, who was the director of religious life at Duke University. He wrote, "A hill outside of Vilnius, Lithuania, is one of the world's great beacons of hope and one of the strongest pieces of evidence to support the doctrine of ascension. Thousands upon thousands of crosses adorn that holy ground, originally placed there by the Lithuanian people in defiance of the Soviet regime, and now a destination for pilgrims carrying crosses from all over the world. From 1917 to 1985, the Soviets bulldozed that hill again and again out of disdain for the ignorance and fanaticism that it represented to them. Each day the bulldozers would come and pummel those crosses into the earth, and each night for 68 years, the resilient Christians of Lithuania would place the crosses back in the earth as a sign that their allegiance was to the Lordship of Christ and not to the flag or nation that dominated their lives. Again and again, the bulldozers would come, and again, the crosses would appear the next day, testifying to a power far greater than military might, a visible sign of the Spirit's work, a physical reminder of where Jesus calls us all to be. Eventually, the hope of the place won out. In 1985, the Soviet bulldozing campaign ended when Mikhail Gorbachev said quietly, "Let them have their hill." 2 years later, Lithuanian students began to demonstrate against the Iron Curtain. It wasn't long before others followed, and the Soviet Union crumbled several years later. I am also reminded of Greg Zanis, known to many as the Cross Man. After he found his own father-in-law shot dead, a victim of gun violence, in 1996, Zanis, who was a carpenter, started making wooden crosses and driving all over the country to memorialize the victims of mass shootings and other tragedies. From Columbine to Sandy Hook to Parkland, from Pittsburgh to Boston to Aurora and El Paso, Zanis drove his pickup truck all over the United States, and he delivered crosses, Stars of David, and crescent moons to memorialize the dead and bring comfort to their survivors. Before he died from cancer in 2020, he founded a nonprofit called Crosses for Losses to continue his mission after his death. The point of these crosses, however, is not simply to memorialize the dead, but to lift up the eyes of all of us who see them, to lift up our gaze to heaven and to be reminded of the vision, not only of Christ ascending into heaven, but also a heavenly vision of a world in which people no longer die in such tragedies, a world in which the powers of prejudice and hatred, scarcity and greed, violence and war are overcome by God's power of love and justice, healing and hope, abundance and peace. With the hope of heaven in our hearts and minds, then we can look around and get to work, making God's vision real here on earth. Friends, we are Easter people who believe in resurrection and new life. And as we will celebrate next week, we are also Pentecost people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit and given God's power to bring the hope of heaven right here to earth. On this Ascension Sunday, let's enjoy the view for a moment. remembering the one who lived and died and rose again for this world God loves. And then let us look around right where we are and get back to work, being witnesses of God's amazing grace and power, doing the work of bringing healing out of brokenness, abundance out of scarcity, justice out of injustice, peace out of violence and war, life out of death, so that the hope of heaven may be for all life here on earth. Amen. Take a moment this week. I know it's been a hard week for a lot of folks, and we wanted to take a moment to remember and to lament what is going on in this world, as I was preaching about earlier. As we thought about how to do this, I was looking around online for resources, and Diana Butler Bass had posted a litany that had been put together by a group of Anglican bishops. They had created it about, maybe 3 or 5 years ago after another mass shooting, as a way of remembering, and she was pleading with congregations to actually use this in their worship service. And as I scrolled through it, as she mentioned, the bishops have faithfully added new verses to this litany, new lines to this litany every time there's a mass shooting in the United States. And as I scrolled through it, I realized it would take so long to do this litany that it really wasn't feasible for us. So what we are going to do instead is we are going to read the names of the 19 people who were killed in Uvalde, Texas, and remember them, as well as all of those others who we may or may not have heard about. And so let us listen to these names. The first two names I'm going to read are the two teachers that were in the classroom, Irma Garcia and Ava Morales. Irma Garcia was 48, and sadly, her husband died at a fatal heart attack 2 days after the shooting, so leaving behind their 4 children. So when we think about the impact of gun violence on families and communities, to realize the way that the despair and devastation that these folks are coming back from, it is truly, it's hard to imagine. And then the 19 children who were in the classroom, all between the ages of 8 and 11. Nevaeh Bravo, Jackie Cazares, McKenna Elrod, Jose Flores, Eliana Garcia, Uzziah Garcia, Amory Joe Garza, Jace Carmelo Lubanos, Javier Lopez, Tess Marie Mata, Miranda Mathis, Alicia Ramirez, Annabelle Rodriguez, Maiti Rodriguez, Alexandra Rubio, Layla Salazar, Hyla Saguaro, Eliahana Torres, and Rogelio Torres.
In 2018, four of our youth put together this litany of remembrance and advocacy in your bulletin, and we invite you to offer it with us. Let us remember our fellow students who have fallen to people with malcontent in their hearts and guns in their hands.
We will stand up to gun violence.
Let us remember the teachers, school administrators, and others who have died trying to keep kids safe.
We will stand up against gun violence.
Let us remember the innocent people who die every day from needless gun violence.
We will stand up against gun violence.
Let our students go to school without fear of violence or lockdown drills that don't solve anything.
We will stand up against gun violence.
Let us take a stand and get guns out of the hands of people who could abuse them.
We will stand up against gun violence.
Let us take action, take real action, and stand behind our thoughts and prayers instead of speaking empty words. Let this be a call to all people in the community to work for a new era of gun laws.
We will stand up against gun violence. And now we invite you to stand and sing a hymn that was written just this week by a Presbyterian pastor, Carolyn Winfrey Gillette. O God, Our Nation Feels the Loss. Garrett will play the tune through because it's a bit of a new one for us. Going through a day like today is often can bring up and stir up a lot of pretty strong emotions in us. And if there are things that you need to talk about as a result of this service today, Tammy and I are certainly available to do that. And please know that that is hope and community are the two things that we want to be to one another in this time. So whether it is with us or with others, we certainly invite you to continue to talk about and process these events and even the impact of this service on you today. We have offered and been praying a lot today, but what joys and concerns would you add to the many things that we have already named for us to know how to pray for you? Yeah, Martin. For Kristen and her family on the death of her grandmother. Yeah, we will pray.
Oh, sorry, Dan.
I want to pray for Sue Cruz's sister, Laurie Andrews, who suffered a bad heart attack last Sunday. She collapsed and she was on life support. She is now recovering very well. She's still on the ventilator. But she's now moved up to 80% chance of survival, and last Sunday it was 5% chance of survival.
Wow.
So continue to keep her in prayer. She lives in Florida.
So for Sue's sister who lives in Florida, yeah, we will pray.
Well, thank you to all who made this service possible. It was most enlightening and moving, thought-provoking, heart-rending.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Yeah, for the lead person who put this service together today. Yeah, thank you for saying that. Yeah, so we pray for those, and one friend in particular, but many who continue to struggle with suicidal desperation. Yeah, we will pray.
I have a concern and a joy. My concern is that John just found out that he had a complete shoulder replacement in about 2 weeks, and he's experiencing a lot of pain. So prayers for John, but also prayers for me, because I'm living with him.
Yeah.
And another joy is that during the week we celebrated our 64th wedding anniversary.
You've been living with him a long time, Deanna. Yeah. So, but prayers for John and prayers for his main caregiver through this. Yeah, yeah. We will pray. We will pray.
Also, Deanna's birthday.
Is that true, Deanna? It was your birthday this week?
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
What is it? Oh, Karen. Yeah.
More prayers.
For the people caring for their parents and other loved ones, yeah, we will continue to pray. Yeah.
Prayers of joy that my grandson Xander turned 1 on Friday and just started walking. And Thea's birthday was the week before.
All right. So for Xander and for Thea and for walking, and that's wonderful. Yeah, we give thanks. Yeah. Chuck.
Yes, for Rita Kelch, who is me, trying to move to assisted living because she needs assistance.
Yeah, so for Rita, who will be moving soon to assisted care. Yeah, we will pray. We'll pray. Yes. Yeah, prayers for those who are working for solutions to gun violence. Yeah, we will pray. Even in this community. Yeah. Oh, sure. And to Thea as well. So can we... So in order for us to sing today, you all have to remember all those names. Just right now. So let's sing together. Yeah, concerns of the those who are contracting COVID. Yeah, and the uptick. Yeah, we will pray. Let us go to God in prayer together. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks this day for the opportunity to gather and to worship you and to listen again to the story of our faith and to be reminded that hope is not something that takes us out of this life but leads us back into it. And yet, O God, it is so easy sometimes to disconnect our faith from this life and to think of it as something different. We pray this day that you would remind us again of how you became one of us and lived among us and showed us hope in the midst of this life. This is what we pray for this day, O God, because we are a people who are filled with joys and sorrows and concerns and brokenness. And so we come before you this day, O God, to offer our joys and concerns, giving thanks for the many parts of life that feed us and give us nourishment and show us the abundance of life every day. And yet we are also a people of many concerns, and we ask this day that you would hear them both. So, Lord, in the silence, hear our joys and our concerns. Fill us anew this day, O God, with your Spirit, that we may have the courage to go back into our lives and be the witnesses you ask us to be, witnesses to love and grace, to peace and justice, witnesses who stand in the midst of suffering and speak a word of hope, witnesses who go back and seek solutions to the many problems of this world, witnesses who do not buy into the messages that we hear that disconnect us from one another, witnesses who create community. And so we pray this day, O God, that you would guide us back into our lives so that we may share the gifts you have given us here with people that we will meet, loved ones that we can be with, and a world that you love. Guide us, we pray, to be your people always. In Jesus' name we pray, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we offer our lives back to God today, we do so through the covenant we have made with one another, that we will pray, that we will engage, and that we will give, so that we can create a community and a witness that continues to share hope and community and love and grace. So let us give.
Thank you.
join together in our prayer of dedication. God of power and hope, we bring this offering of our resources and our lives before you. Take them, we pray, bless and multiply them, so that our lives and our ministry and mission together may fill our community and world with your healing love, liberating justice, your abiding hope and peace. Amen. And now we continue to share the peace of Christ with one another through sign language and then in whatever ways we are comfortable with. So let us share the peace of Christ. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all and also with you. Let us share the peace with one another. In hope and peace, that you also may be witnesses to the hope of heaven here on earth. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and always. Amen.